Welcome to the message portion from God's Word in the worship from Daleville Christian Church. It is Advent season, a season of preparation. Preparation to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. We have an affirmation of our faith, which we claim each week. This one from John's Gospel in the first chapter, the first five verses and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The reading of God's Word for today is from Luke's Gospel in the first chapter. Verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We have let you know in the newsletter, the bulletin, and the sermon that this season in Advent, the season of preparation, we're putting up the manger scene, the creche, putting together or building our manger scene one piece at a time this season. We're building it, putting it together slowly. We began last week with the angel, the messenger of God. The messengers of God are the key that unlock the declaration and action of God's plan to save us all. To save us all from ourselves by God's loving intervention in the history of planet Earth. We got ourselves into this mess called sin, sinful living, sinful lifestyles, and we can't get ourselves out. God came to make everything new, beginning with us. A new start in life with a new power of the Holy Spirit, which cannot be defeated by death. The plan was first given to the prophets of God. The plan was soon put into writing in the words of the prophets, Malachi, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, and the Psalms, said Jesus. Then last week we saw how the messenger of God came to the priest Zechariah to Zechariah, the messenger proclaimed that the prayers were heard and the plan will now get underway. The plan included the coming of Elijah, and Zechariah would have a child in his old age and in his wife's old age. And that child, you will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, said the Lord's messenger. That statement looks to several prophecies. Today, Luke again continues his report of the messengers of God. Messengers of God taking announcements to the participants in God's plan. I suggested last time that our Lord, through his messengers, confronts us with God's plan. We can claim that this is a confrontation because a decision is required. The participants have to decide what they're going to do. Just a reminder, in the book of Jonah, Jonah got his message from God to go to the city of Nineveh, and Jonah ran away in the opposite direction. We must remember that Zechariah and Mary did not wake up on their fateful days and say, "Oh yes, I have an appointment with the messenger of God today, 3 p.m. Zechariah and Mary had their plans that day, on the days of the messenger of God's visit. Probably had plans for the week. When out of nowhere, God's messenger showed up, frightening both Zechariah and then, later, Mary. Today we notice the next participant in God's plan is contacted, Mary. The message to Mary is similar to Zechariah's. There's going to be a baby born. The message to Mary is similar to Zechariah's. There's going to be a baby born, but notice that Zechariah and his wife have been praying to have a child. Mary has not been praying to have children. Mary's not even living with a man. So I think that calling this messenger's message a confrontation is accurate. So what would happen? Having a baby is dangerous business, and being engaged to a man and having a baby that is not his own, as an ancient Jew, that also was dangerous business. So what would happen? Remember, Jonah ran away. Zechariah had doubtful questions for the messenger about the whole plan. Okay, Mary, what would you say? Now, Mary is of marriageable age, we say, but remember that marriages in the ancient world and in some places still today, marriages are arranged. In many cases, the marriages are arranged years before the wedding. But today, we're not going to get bogged down on ancient Jewish marriage practices. What we want to notice is this: a baby is to be born, but not just any baby. This is part of the messenger's message. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. His kingdom will never end. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Of course, that's all Messiah talk. God's plan for our salvation was to unfold on earth with us and for us. There's only one big problem. You know what that is? The one big problem is us. Even though God's plan is for us, God's plan is still a confrontation for all of us. Why? Because we human beings are the problem. Why? Because we always have our own plans. We always try to fix things ourselves. Actually, it's worse than that. We not only have other plans, we get wrapped up in our own plans. Right? Even if we get in trouble, we ourselves try to figure out our own way out of it. If we look at the beginning of the Bible, we are told of Adam and Eve, two human beings, making bad choices. They didn't ask the Lord God about this new idea to eat the fruit that God said not to eat. They decided that the serpent's plan was a good one. Adam and Eve earned their trouble. The Lord God told them, "Because you have done this, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. You will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." And then, the Bible states, Genesis, first book of the Bible, goes on to say, "So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the truth of life, tree of life." Way to go, Adam and Eve. God was a great landlord, and you got us all kicked out. Now all we got are either slums or expensive high-rises. And there's no going back. There's no way back into God's blissful acres complex. And we get to die. Do I need to remind you? You and I are children of Adam and Eve. Even science tells us there's a mitochondrial Eve. The Apostle Paul told the churches in Corinth, "Death came through a man." The Apostle added, "By man comes the resurrection from the dead." Man brought death, life from God's going to come to us through a man named Jesus, whose name means, literally, he saves. You and I know exactly why God's plan has to happen this way. We cannot reach heaven on our own. Our God must reach down from heaven to bring us up to heaven. Again, Pastor David Jeremiah, whom I quoted last time, wrote, "God proposed to leave his realm, leave his seat there, to come to his creation, come to earth, walk among his creatures, men and women. Humanity would see what God was like in love and faithfulness and devotion, even through death, that death might be overcome." We proclaim the outline of our faith and our affirmation of faith today. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. We've also used the letter to the Philippians in chapter 2 as an affirmation of faith. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. The one God, our God, who is not like us, came to us as one of us. The one God, our God, who is not like us, came to us as one of us. God thereby blessed humanity's flesh by taking it on. And God blessed humanity's life by redeeming our life. We could now live new lives that could go on forever. Remember our affirmation of faith from Ephesians chapter 2? "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Remember, we humans had plans for our redemption, but the best we could come up with was a long set of rules. The law. Rules we couldn't even keep. Jesus came at a time when the Pharisees were interpreting those laws, which is why I say we came up with the laws. And what did our Lord Jesus say? What did our Lord Jesus say about the Pharisees' interpretation of the rules? Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Ouch. And Jesus told them a few verses later, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Work out our own redemption by faithful religious experts in Jesus' day? We still made people ready for hell. Not only could our best plans not work, our best plans never could possibly work. Our loving God knew that, and so our Bibles say that at the proper time, God made known his word, revealed it as his message. So Messiah, the promised one, will be of God, offspring of the Most High God, born in the likeness of humanity, Emmanuel, God with us. Did you ever try to come up with your own plan of salvation? Ever try to get yourself out of your own mess? Did you get out of the mess without getting messy? Did you get out of the mess without lying? All recovering addicts come to realize they can't get out of their own mess alone. All recovering addicts, doesn't matter what the addiction is. If they recover, they've come to realize they can't get out of the addiction on their own. They look to a higher power and fellow addicts to help them get out of the mess they are in. I asked you if you had a plan for your salvation before you decided on Jesus. Pastor David Jeremiah says that Mary was probably not planning humanity's salvation. Pastor David Jeremiah suggests that Mary might have been planning her wedding. Mary was betrothed. Mary could have been thinking about the new household that she would set up, the new home that Mary would share with Joseph, her fiancé. Mary could have been thinking about that old rhyme, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes Mary with a baby carriage. But then God's messenger showed up and said to Mary, Mary, first comes baby carriage. And God's messenger added, first comes baby carriage, and the baby won't be Joseph's own son of his flesh. I'd call that a confrontation, wouldn't you? But Mary has a different response than the old priest, Zechariah. Mary stated, let it be. Let it be to me according to your word. Now, I suppose some preachers would start comparing Zechariah's faith and Mary's faith, but not this preacher. Faith isn't a contest. I've said at times that I wasn't sure I had enough faith. But notice what our Lord the Messiah said. A little faith is okay. Some of you have seen mustard seeds. Jesus said if you had that much, you can still get plenty done. The Apostle Paul suggested that our faith can grow. And of a woman who was healed, Jesus said, woman, great is your faith. Jesus watched a woman put a widow, which means she had no income, really. Husband dead, no son. A widow put two copper coins, not silver coins, not gold coins, copper coins, into the temple treasury. Jesus said she put in more than all those putting money in the treasury. So how much faith do you have to have? How much faith do you have? Do you have as much faith as Mary? Do you have as much faith as Zechariah? Did you notice that even though Zechariah seemed to have questions of doubt about the whole plan, you notice that God's plan went forward anyway? Zechariah and Elizabeth still had a son, and it was still John who baptized Jesus. That's how much God loves us. It isn't up to us. God is determined to save us. Praise God. God has a better plan. Go with God's plan through Jesus, whose birth we celebrate. And why do we celebrate Jesus' birth? Because God sent Jesus to save us. To save us from ourselves. To save us from our own plans. Our choices got us in the mess we're in. God will get us out through Jesus, who would be a baby born like us on earth, to lift us from the earth forever. Amen.
She named